Dear friends in Christ, a few weeks ago, standing in a long line at the American ticket counter in the Tulsa airport, I had a chance to chat with the woman in front of me. As it turned out, she was a minister, at least according to her, her denomination, and the IRS. Having learned that I was also a clergy person, she asked, "What branch?" When I told her I was a Lutheran, she nodded happily. When I added that I was from the Missouri Synod, she offered a sad, pitying smile, and shaking her head, sighed, "What a shame that your church body doesn't take advantage of the talents and gifts given to women." I suppose I could have played dumb, which admittedly wouldn't be much of a stretch, but there wasn't time. And not wanting to let down the home team, I told her that I just didn't see how women's ordination fit with the Bible. And I mentioned the little fact that our Lord, who is himself a man, and also the eternal Son of God, didn't choose any women as apostles. Ah, but she had her proof text, or at least her proof person. She referred me to Mary Magdalene, to whom our risen Lord first appeared, and whom he told to report his resurrection to the apostles. Well, what are we to make of Mary Magdalene? For starters, I would say that she is a woman who loved much, because she herself was loved. How so? Well, we know that she was plagued, perhaps possessed, by 7 demons. What those 7 demons did to that poor lady, only heaven knows. We can imagine that they drove her a bit mad, or that they led her to do things that she later regretted. In any case, the demons had taken her life away from her. But then our Lord met Mary and demonstrated his love for her in this. He drove those 7 demons away. He freed her from the shackles of the devils. And now Mary Magdalene became a truly liberated woman. And having been liberated from slavery to the demons, what does she do? She freely makes herself a servant of our Lord, placing her head at his feet, dedicating, as they would say today, her time, talents, and treasures to the service of Christ. And thus Mary Magdalene became, along with Joanna and Susanna, one of the women who helped foot the bill for our Lord's ministry, supporting him and his little seminary out of their own means. And most probably Mary acted as a type of administrative assistant of that day, handling many of the day-to-day logistics of our Lord's ministry, even as our own seminary depends on such women today. Yes, much loved, Mary loved much. And in her servanthood, she found glory. As part of her glory, consider her role in the greatest story ever told. Mary followed our Lord to the cross and stood at its foot, even when other disciples had fled. Later, Mary followed Joseph of Arimathea and the Corpus Christi to the tomb. While our Lord's body rested in the tomb, she was faithfully preparing spices. And when the Sabbath ended, it was she who went early to the tomb to find it empty. And afraid that her heart might be broken again, she cried out, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and I don't know where they have put him." Later, in a conversation with a pair of unrecognized angels, she repeats her heartfelt, if misguided, concern, "They have taken my Lord away." At this point, tragedy turns to comedy, for our Lord appears. Thinking him to be the gardener, she repeats her concern, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." But what follows next is romance, the type of romance envisioned by the writer of the Song of Songs. And the lover says, "Mary." And in turn, the beloved holds on to her Lord with a deep embrace. If there's a more poignant, more beautiful picture in the gospel, I cannot think of it. You see, that poor lady at the American ticket counter did not understand who Mary really was or what she represents. Mary is no Peter, nor did she ever want to be. She is the beloved who has found her lover. She is the bride who has been found by her groom. She is the Eve, the one who has found her new Adam, the man who could finally lead her back into the garden paradise, and in doing so give her life meaning and purpose. But then our Lord breaks off from Mary's embrace and sends her to the apostles. Why? Of course, to tell them the good news, but also because this is where she belonged, with the apostles, in the church, the body of Christ. For by leaving her Lord, she was also returning to him. To be sure, she could no longer embrace her Lord in the old way, but now she could hold on to him in the church. She could not hear her Lord speak to her in the old way, but now she could hear the apostles repeat to her the words of eternal life and receive again the message of forgiveness which had changed her life. And no doubt, as she served our Lord during his earthly life, she also used her time, talents, and treasure to aid the apostles and the fledgling church. By returning to the apostles, Mary was taking her place in the family of Christ, which is where each one of us belongs with all of our different roles. Amen.